Move to approve change order number one to Ketchikan Mechanical in the amount of $90,170.96 for the touchless plumbing fixtures project.
Dalrymple seconds.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Quick administrative report for the public.
Sure, Madam Mayor, I'd like to ask the Capital Facilities Director, since she's been the one leading this project.
Thank you. Amber?
Thank you. So this change order proposed to Ketchikan Mechanical relates to the harbors and the parks bathrooms, changing their toilets and their faucets to touchless operation. We didn't include this work earlier in the original scope of work that we have under contract with Ketchikan Mechanical now, because there were some concerns with the plumbing requirements in those parks bathrooms in particular. So we decided to eliminate that. We didn't have the capacity within our department to identify those needs and include them in that original scope of work. So the plan was to get a contractor on board through the competitive process and then have them come and review those locations on site to determine what's needed and then give us a price. So this change order addresses all of the parks bathrooms and the harbors bathrooms at their outdoor facilities. It also includes two other indoor facilities that we didn't include previously, and that was City Hall. We, through internal discussion, decided not to include City Hall, but there is so much traffic with the public there, we decided it might be a good idea. And also the lower level of the public safety building, it originally wasn't seeing a lot of traffic, but it does at certain points of time of the year, primarily when the indoor shooting range is operated for Parks and Rec program. And then also the police have relocated their workout equipment down there and they're using it more often now too. So we included that lower level bathroom that wasn't originally included. I will mention verbally as I did in my written report that the price is high at $90,000. But number one, the touchless equipment is expensive. I don't recall if you all received a copy of the bid schedule from Ketchikan Mechanical when they bid the original, but they have included those same unit prices for the items that are the same. But what's a little different with this one is we have such a time crunch to get this work done before the CARES Act money has to be expended that Ketchikan Mechanical was already, they felt like they were under the gun to complete the work once their materials arrive mid-October. And so they forecasted this work would be done using overtime hours. And they were already stretched. I talked to them today at the request of Lisa. She asked me to just double check with them what that overtime looked like and if there was an opportunity to reduce the overtime in the end they ended up not needing that overtime hourly wage to be applied. Their comment back was they can't really feel comfortable to accept this work without assuming that there would be overtime work. Their original work, they're already pushed to consider that work without overtime, and anything added to it would need to be overtime. To be able to try to track that time if they didn't use it all, they say would be very difficult because if they do get the work, they're going to try to just lump sum all of the work together. They won't be separating the work to be able to identify, well, we did this bathroom, you know, during the daytime hours, normal hours versus the second or third shift or on the weekend. They can't really add additional staff based on their workload right now to accommodate a no overtime hourly accounting in this change order. So I just wanted to make a note of that so everyone understood what was included.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, go ahead.
One more thing, we did schedule this change order work similar to what we did with the original scope of work. Because we have such a tight time frame, we've got it itemized as such that if they don't, materials would likely be here regardless. So we've had them separate the materials from the labor in both instances, in case they don't get to complete some portion of the labor, we'll be able to easily identify that labor cost and do a reduction. It'd be a further change order, but a reduced change order to reduce that labor cost. And then in the we have a specific term in the contract that says we will terminate the contract at a certain date, whatever's not done. So we're not non-compliant with our CARES Act funding use, if that all makes sense.
It does, especially a change order that's reduced. That's unheard of.
Madam Mayor?
Assemblymember Morrison.
So that's going to leave us roughly $300,000 left in the COVID CARES money. Is that right, Lisa?
So, no, Assemblymember, Madam Mayor, if I may.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Assemblymember Morrison, this money is coming from other allocations. So this, is not eating into the money that is remaining. So
this is a separate CARES. Okay.
So a portion of this is coming out of money that we had already allocated for door openers that project is not going to be done. So that money is being reallocated to this. And we also received a grant from the state for just over $34,000 for COVID related stuff from the CPV fund, state CPV funds, the commercial passenger vessel. And because these bathrooms, the port and the harbor and the parks and rec bathrooms are used very frequently by cruise ship visitors, we can use that CPV money for these bathroom upgrades. And that's being done in other places around the state as well with this CPV money. So we are not eating into what we're calling the unallocated portion of the remaining CARES Act money.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Assemblymember Dalrymple.
Yeah, I have a question. I support this, the idea of this, but I'm a little confused here. This is the change amount. How does that relate to the original contract amount that I believe we approved previously? And what would be the total for the whole contract?
The original contract was $256,000. So add another $90,346,000 total.
I'm a little concerned about the total price of that, but I still support it. It's fairly substantial here that again, we added on quite a bit of money, you know, as a change order onto this. So I kind of wish we had done these, you know, up front as a whole package. That's my only comments on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Assemblymember Howe.
I want to continue that. Was there a bidding process? And
Yes, the original scope of work, which includes, I don't have all of the details in front of me, but approximately seven or eight city-owned buildings, and then on top of that, the three schools. It's, you know, all of that work competitively bid under an invitation to bid, which was advertised for a minimum of 3 weeks, I believe. And then we actually only received one bid. We had indication that we had two other contractors looking at it, but in the long run, they came back afterwards and notified us that they had just become very busy with other work, and with a tight time frame, they couldn't make it work.
Well, for $290,000, I wonder if they changed their minds. I don't know.
They'd already committed to other work, so they didn't have the time or the workforce to accomplish the work.
Oh well, I guess I was just wondering if I'm grateful it's not a situation where they underbid and then snuck in a higher amount at the end. So that wasn't the case.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion or questions, Assembly? All right. Seeing none, poll vote, please.
Sure. Assembly members Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Decker?
Yep.
Dalrymple?
Reluctantly, yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 13D, this is on page 93. Approval of sole source purchase of a CAT LC50 generator for Wrangell Medical Center, the Wood Street entrance sewer pump station, in conformance with Wrangell Municipal Code Section 5.10.050 Section F from NC Machinery in the amount of $25,675.
Move to approve the sole source purchase of CAT LC50 generator for Wrangell Medical Center, Wood Street sewer pump station in conformance with Wrangell Municipal Code Section 510.050F from NC Machinery in the amount of $25,675.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. And I surmise our capital facilities director may address this.
Oh, this is actually me, Madam Mayor. So this is an item that was brought to my attention quite some time ago, as I indicate in the agenda statement. We do not have a backup power source for the sewer pump station that feeds into at Wood Street intersection there that services the new hospital and the existing clinic. Obviously, that's a sewer back. We don't want any sewer to back up, but that one is critical, correct? And when this was brought to my attention, I went to the state and asked to see if we could use our hospital grant money that we have to purchase this. The pricing information was just provided to me about a week ago. And because we are trying to consolidate into CAT equipment, NC Machinery is the only provider in the state. And we cannot go out of state and ask for a bid from, let's say, the authorized CAT dealers in the lower 48, because they will not bid against the Alaska provider. So that's why we're asking for a sole source here.
Correct. And we've run into this before.
Correct.
With CAT, yeah. Any discussion or questions from the assembly? All right, seeing none, poll vote please.
For assembly members, Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Decker?
Yeah.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 13E, it's on page 107, resolution number 09-20-1544 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, designating a canvas board duties to two assembly members and one qualified voting member of the community for canvassing the results of the regular election to be held October 6, 2020.
Move to approve resolution number 09-02-1544 that designates the canvas board for the October 6th, 2020 regular borough election.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion on 09-20-1544 resolution. Clerk, would you like to speak to this item?
Sure, this is a housekeeping item. The assembly has to pass a resolution to designate the canvas board that will meet 2 days after the election and to canvass and process essentially the question ballots that have been received, the special needs ballots that have been received, meaning voted, and the absentee ballots. And this year, essentially, I don't have three members of the assembly that are seated members that are not on the ballot. So the assembly approved, I believe last year, to be able to appoint a qualified member of the public to sit on that board. And it's my request that that person be Erin Meisner, who is also my deputy clerk. So I did speak with Mayor Prasanka about this, and he was in agreement as well. And That's it.
Thank you. Any questions, discussion, assembly? All right, seeing none, poll vote, please.
Sure. Assembly members Decker?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Howe?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 13F, page 110, resolution number 09-20-1545 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY 2021 budget in multiple funds, providing for the FY 2021 capital budget and authorizing its expenditure. And it requires a motion. Page 110.
Move to approve resolution number 09-20-1545.
Dalrymple seconds.
Okay, we have a motion, and this happens every year. Can we have an administrative explanation for the public?
Sure. Thank you, Madam Mayor. We actually pass a capital budget every year. Normally it happens as a part of the regular budget process. Things were very crunched due to all of the delays with COVID this year. So we added a very small number of capital items to the operating budget when it was passed. And then we held two work sessions with the assembly to go over projects. And this resolution now funds those. I do, Madam Mayor, have an amendment to section four when the assembly is ready. I can walk you through each of these sections in the resolution if you would like. That's up to the assembly. We tried to outline everything obviously by fund and by project.
Let's walk through it for the public. So starting with section one.
Okay, so in section one, Madam Mayor, we are proposing to take $192,000 from the general fund reserve. That's basically the general fund balance for the following four projects: the Nolan Center Civic Center flooring replacement for $41,000, swimming pool lighting upgrades for $40,000, the match to several grant funds that we've received for the Kyle Angerman Memorial Playground replacement in the amount of $56,000. Just to be clear, although we're allocating that money, if we are able to procure additional funding sources, that allocation will be reduced. And then we have an environmental work plan for some contaminated soil in the public works yard that needs to be addressed in the amount of $55,000. Section two, in the Secure Rural School Fund, we are proposing to take $265,000 for two projects. The first is $210,000 for the repair or the replacement of the high school elevator that is currently non-functional, that is turning into a hugely significant project. And then the high school sidewalk replacement. This project was in the budget last year and was not finished, and so we've brought that forward. So those two projects total $265,000. Section three, from the electric fund, we are proposing to take $102,000 from fund balance to cover the environmental assessment for the utilities campus master plan for $102,000. As the assembly and much of the public is aware, we are having to, we are going to need to demolish the, at the very least, the old powerhouse building and either rehab or do a replacement of our powerhouse, old and new. In order to understand what that looks like, we have to address the environmental concerns in the area. There is just a hodgepodge mess of stuff in that area from bygone eras. And what we've been looking at is a full utilities campus master plan that would potentially include electric and public works And as Capital Facilities moving into the electric office, it would include all of those. So that's why it's being called the Campus Master Plan. But this environmental assessment is in the area of the old powerhouse building. The this is the amendment that I would, well, I'll talk about section four as it's written, and then I will explain the amendment. So what is in the resolution is to transfer $160,000 from the water fund reserve for two projects, the upper dam stability alternatives analysis for $65,000, and the Ash Street water main replacement project, the engineering, for $95,000. What was we forgot to add to the resolution was the new project that we discussed at the last work session, which is the need to repair and install a valve in the line that is running down through the storage area there from the water plant down through down to Zemovia Highway. And that is $35,000. And so we'd like to add the repair of the water transmission line and the installation of the isolation valve at $35,000, bringing the total transfer from the water fund to $195,000.
Okay, so will you state the phrase again so an assembly member can make that amended motion?
So that would be to, Madam Mayor, that would be to amend section four to increase the total transfer from $160,000 to $195,000, adding $35,000 for the repair of the water transmission line and isolation valve installation.
Did an assembly member get that?
To say so moved?
Yeah, when we're finished?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, section five then?
Section five, Madam Mayor, is from the sewer fund. The borough is, administration is recommending a transfer of $150,000 from sewer fund reserves for the Node 8 pump station replacement. Moving on to section six, we need to not move money in this instance. There would be no transfer. And in these previous instances, what's happening is money is being transferred from these funds into the capital fund. In section six, what we're proposing to do is not transfer money, but increase the authorization for expenditure in the commercial passenger vessel fund of $50,000 for the FLAP grant match. We have a FLAP grant for the Mount Dewey Trail Extension Project, and our match is $50,000. In section seven, we are proposing to reflect also, again, not a transfer, but an increase in the authorized expenditure in the amount of $65,000 in the Industrial Construction Fund for the environmental assessment on the former Wilcox property. That is a project we've been having discussions with the assembly about.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I was just going to say, and that concludes the capital budget expenditures proposed.
Okay, that was a good explanation. Any questions? Assembly Member Dalrymple.
Yeah, I just had one on the question of the elevator. There was quite a bit of discussion about that. Has that been more refined to what that money would go towards, a replacement, or seemed to be a sort of an unknown last time we talked about it, what the fix would be there?
Madam Mayor and Assembly Member Dalrymple, I need to defer to the Capital Facilities Director, please.
Okay, and just for your information, Assembly Member Dalrymple, it was discussed at the school board meeting, and there has been some a little bit of movement on that topic. So we'll see what Amber has to say, because she's working with the school.
Yeah, so Josh and I spoke about that today. He's actually working with the local drilling company Clearview Drilling. They met to look at the site to see if there was any way that he could even get his drill rig into the school if in fact that looked like it was an option with Otis Elevator to come in and drill another for another ram cylinder. But there's still a lot of uncertainty about what that process would look like. And how, you know, we don't really know what condition we have existing and how to address that. So Josh is still just doing some investigative work we'll be sharing anything that they do glean from working with Clearview and also with Public Works to determine if they could get their back truck and a hose that would reach that area if it were needed. But there's still, I would say really, there's still not a lot of definitive answers beyond what we reported last.
Maybe just a follow-up if I could. So the expenditures for the 210, what would that go for? Is that just an engineering evaluation or is that replacement?
That's a replacement. So we put a placeholder in there for the one firm cost that we do have from Tyson Crump, and that would be to replace the existing elevator in the existing hoistway with a new, smaller, brand new elevator. They'd be a smaller car. I think Josh explained that during one of our last meetings. A smaller car, but it would have all new controls and it'd be a complete upgrade.
Okay, thank you.
Assembly Member Decker.
Yes, Madam Chair, I would just offer an amendment. Is this the appropriate time?
Yes. Is there any other discussion? Yes. Okay. Let's have the amendment.
So I would move to amend section 4 of the resolution to increase the total transfer from $160,000 to $195,000, adding $35,000 for repairs of the water transmission lines as described by the borough manager.
Thank you. We have an amendment. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. Do we have any discussion on the amendment to the motion? All right. Hearing none, poll vote on the amendment, please.
Okay. Assembly Members Morrison?
Yes.
Howe?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Now the motion as amended, do we have any discussion or questions on that?
Madam Mayor, I would just add that, if I may, that even though this money is being allocated and the expenditure is authorized, any expenditure $25,000 or greater, or any expenditure that I believe to be of concern or of great interest to the assembly will be brought back to the assembly for approval, for action. So just because the money's being authorized doesn't mean that we have carte blanche to spend that money.
Correct, and you'll keep us posted every regular assembly meeting and KYPs, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions, discussion, assembly? All right, poll vote on the amended motion.
Absolutely. Assembly Members Decker?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Howe?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Thank you. Item 13G, page 118. Approval to hold a special assembly meeting to certify the October 6th regular local election.
Move to approve holding a special assembly meeting on October 8th, 2020 at 6 o'clock p.m. to certify the results of the regular borough local election.
Second.
Second.
All right. We have a second by Assembly Member Decker. And this is a housekeeping item. We do this every year.
Correct.
Correct. Any questions or discussion, Assembly? All right, seeing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Dalrymple?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Howe?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 13H, this is a discussion item. No action will be taken tonight. Emergency declaration order, ordinance number 976, and suspension of in-person assembly meetings. Resolution 03-20-1520. And no motion is required. Can we have an administrative report on this item?
Certainly, Madam Mayor. So the emergency order, the emergency ordinance that was passed declaring an emergency is due to expire on October 17th. And our next assembly meeting is scheduled, I believe, for the 13th. And so it's a little bit, we wanted to have this discussion in advance to make sure we could bring something back for action at the October 13th meeting. Administration is recommending an extension of that order through the end of the year, simply because we want to make sure that that declaration is still in place for any emergency funding purposes, any of those things. And so that's our recommendation with regard to the ordinance, extending it. With regard to the resolution that suspended in-person meetings, we wanted to bring that discussion up with the assembly, and the clerk has done a fair amount of work on looking at alternatives here and has presented those in the agenda statement. You know, one is allow for full in-person meetings, which we are not recommending right now because we don't have the space in the existing assembly chambers to be able to safely accommodate everyone and the public. And in fact, if we were to do in-person meetings now and have the assembly around the dais, we would actually physically need to extend, build out the dais in order to make arrangements for people or have assembly members sitting elsewhere in the room to allow for 6 feet of separation. So we talked about making one of the alternatives is to extend the dais, as we talked about, and provide electronic participation by the members of the public, and perhaps have members of the staff that have items on the agenda come and be there in person, or if there's someone from the public that has an item on the agenda, they might be able to come in person to the assembly chambers if we went to quasi in-person meetings, but then everybody else would need to participate by Zoom, and that would require the purchase of a considerable amount of equipment, electronics, and things to get ourselves suited to do that. We would be able to take that out of our CARES money. Another alternative, and I'll let the clerk speak to this because she's been doing, like I said, a considerable amount of research, is holding meetings at the Nolan Center. And there would be plenty of space there to be able to physically distance, not only for the assembly and staff, but for members of the public. There would be a significant investment in equipment in order to be able to do that, microphones, computer, perhaps some multimedia equipment in terms of projectors and things like that to make sure that people could see. We're also, I think, still going to want to be able to offer a Zoom option from the Nolan Center as well for people who are concerned about showing up in person to gatherings. So I'd like to invite the clerk to speak to this, Madam Mayor, if she would.
Please.
So you really answered, I mean, you said everything that I was thinking, but that's good. I did go to the Nolan Center today and met with Cindy, and we do believe that it would be possible to have tables for each assembly member and space everybody apart, and each assembly member at their table have their own microphone. We could have a microphone set up podium for public members, that after somebody spoke, I would come up and sanitize that microphone. I don't mind doing that. You know, it's just, it's an added thing to do, in addition to recording and making sure I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. So that's one concern I have, but I feel like looking at doing the assembly chambers would be, you know, a lot more difficult, just because, like Manager Von Bargen stated, it would be hard. We would have to hire a contractor to come in and modify the assembly chambers to accommodate the 6-foot distancing for the assembly, and not allowing the public to come in would be exclusion, I feel. And it would be difficult for me to tell people, no, you have an item on the agenda, but you have to Zoom in, you can't come to the meeting. And if they did, then, you know, we don't have like a waiting room, you know, we don't have, I feel like a set way of doing that. So I'm not really in favor of doing the assembly chambers like the manager had stated. It's not really large enough for that yet. And I don't really want to modify the assembly chambers, because if we do, that's permanent. And that's taking away space for the audience when we don't really have a whole lot of space for the audience as it is. And speaking with Cindy today, she's really tech savvy. So I feel like if we went that route, if the assembly was in favor of going that route, I think that would be the better option. I think that we might want to look at extending that resolution, and we can maybe bring that back at the next assembly meeting to extend it at least a month, so we could get everything set. Because we would have to order the microphones. Cindy only has 3, and we'd have to test it and make sure that we're set up with KSDK so that they can log on to Zoom and be able to hear the meetings appropriately. So we'd have to do some test runs. So I'm not sure if the assembly has any questions. I see it, Assembly Member Howe's hand up.
Yes, Assembly Member Howe.
That was a really good explanation, and thank you. After hearing everything you said, if it's an option and the rest of the assembly feels the same way, it would be nice to meet in person in some fashion. If the Nolan Center is the way to go, that'd be fine. You know, we meet in similar circumstances, you know, of course, wearing masks at school, where we're all really separate in a big space and we're all wearing our masks and everything. So, but it does totally change the character of the meeting. It feels like you're actually meeting instead of talking to a computer. So, but I'm just one vote. So, but I did like the options that you laid out for us. And if I had a choice, that's the one I would choose.
Madam Mayor?
Yes, Assembly Member Morrison.
This is a question through you for Kim. Would we be allowing the public to come in and sit maybe up in the risers if they were separated by, you know, the social distancing and wearing masks, so that they, obviously we would if they were going to be coming to testify or to make a statement?
If I could, Vice Mayor. Yeah. So we wouldn't have the risers up. Cindy has not had the risers up since COVID started. So, but we could definitely space chairs apart. I've watched several meetings in Juneau in Ketchikan and how they're doing it. And I feel confident that we have plenty of space that we could space the chairs apart for the public. Also, we would have the Zoom. We could still do Zoom, you know, to what we're thinking possible. This is my hope, is to each assembly member at their stations have their computer, but just have their audio off on their computer so that they have, you know, that there's the visual of the assembly member, and that the audio will go through the microphones that are at each station, and that on this, the big screen would be the Zoom. So if there's a public member that called in, the assembly could see that screen right there for the public, because I think everybody would agree that we've had a lot more participation with Zoom, and I'd love to continue that if we can.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, for one vote, I have to go with Ryan. I think it would be a good idea. Mm-hmm. Get back to meeting in person.
Assembly Member Decker.
Thank you. I agree that we eventually should work towards meeting in public or meeting, excuse me, as a body in person with safety precautions. And I fully support if that requires, you know, some equipment purchases. I would like to recommend that we think a little bit about how those equipment purchases could possibly be integrated into City Hall after, you know, COVID subsides, hopefully, right, in the future, where we could continue with Zoom and some of its capabilities with the public and or traveling assembly members in the future. So if we could think through some of that, and so the equipment purchases could be, you know, make the COVID meetings possible, but also be applicable in the future toward better assembly meetings. I think that'd be good, and I support that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
In fact, Assembly Member Decker, you sort of echoed my thoughts that doing this and preparing for this could be very beneficial if we had an assembly meeting where there was a great deal of public interest. You know, we could offer, you know, personal appearances and do Zoom at the same time. So I like this idea. So you will bring back to us suggestions at our next regularly scheduled assembly meeting. Is that correct?
Yes.
And we'll extend this for at least 1 month while you figure out the logistics.
Yes.
Madam Mayor, if I may, we may want to extend it more than a month just to make sure that we don't miss a threshold there. Who knows how long? As people are starting to transition, I'm afraid we might go out for equipment and you say, oh, well, everything's back ordered because everybody's ordering stuff.
I would want to make sure that we have everything and we've tested everything and we're good to go. I want to really put a shout out to the radio station. They are so diligent and broadcasting our meetings and having them recorded. And so I want to make sure that we are doing what we need to do so that they can continue that. So I definitely, we could extend it. And if we had to, we could bring it back and say, we're ready and let's go ahead and move forward. So yes, sorry, that's a bunch of jumbling. So I apologize.
No. And I really like Assembly Member Decker's idea about making sure that we can utilize the equipment after this period has passed. So I like that. All right, any other comment, discussion on this item? If not, we move to item 14, which is the attorney's files that are available in the clerk's office. And then that brings us to item 15A, page 129. Executive session concerning collective bargaining update.
Pursuant to Alaska Statute 44.62.310(c)(3), I move that we go into executive session and invite the borough collective bargaining team to provide an update of the status of the collective bargaining negotiations, a matter which by law, municipal charter, or ordinance is required to be confidential.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor. Any discussion before we take a vote? Okay, hearing none, poll vote please.
Assembly members Dalrymple?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Howe?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. All right, I will recess the regular meeting at 8:30 and we will meet. Everyone have the Zoom address? And then we will return after executive session.
Okay, and I'm gonna end this meeting and then we'll reconvene when it's done, when the executive session's done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kim, you still there?
Yes.
Okay, like Ann, I'm having a hard time opening up the confidential.
I can email it to you. Please I'll do. Email it to you.
All right, and I'll look at it on my other computer.
Okay.
Okay, and I'll see you guys in a minute.